Wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
There is no new generation truth. Truth is ageless. Truth is timeless. The demands for leadership yesterday remains the demands for leadership today and remains the demands for leadership forever. Discipline is a capital requirement in the school of leadership. And self-discipline is the only guarantee for the leadership in you to be made manifest and to emerge. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, now I say that the heir, as long as a child, differeth nothing from a servant. So only those who have put childish things away can truly manifest the leadership seed in them. You remember that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1? Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So as long as anyone decides to remain a child, Paul said, when I was a child, I think like a child. I operate like a child. He said, but now that I'm grown, I give up childish things. So it is giving up of childish things that opens the door for you into your leadership destiny in Christ. And here, as long as a child, differeth nothing from a servant. Nothing. Even though there is a leadership seed in him, he carries a leadership destiny on his life, he still lives and dies as a slave. Because he's refused to give up on childish things. And indiscipline is one of the characteristics of childishness. Anytime a person misbehaves, in my place they say, omodelunche. That is under the attack of childishness. Is plagued by childishness. So watch a highly disciplined child. That's a leading leader in the making. Leadership is in degrees. It's in grades. There are leaders, and among leaders, there are also leaders. And I want to strongly believe that the quality of our self-discipline is what determines our leadership rating in the ultimate. Because John Maxwell has said, play today and you pay tomorrow. And pay today and you play tomorrow. Early to bed, early to rise. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king in Israel. General Gawan was not married when he became head of state of Nigeria. Never deceive yourself that you are still young. Every day is adding to your life. There's no one here who will be younger than he is today by tomorrow. Whether you like it or not, you are older by one day tomorrow than you are today. And for your information, you are older today by one day than you were yesterday. No one is getting younger, even if you shave your hair and have a skin cut. It has not reduced your age. John O. Dell became CEO of Dell Corporation at the age of 19. You are getting old. You can't stop playing childishness. In this part of the country, they say the child that will be called Ashamu will be Shamu Shamu from childhood. So you need, now you see, here you are in your thousands. You are in 1,000 different classes. Even though you are hearing the same message, each one belongs to his own class depending on what he does with what he hears. So we are all in one room and we belong to as many classes as there are persons here. Self-discipline begins with knowing why you came here and settling down for it in order to realize it. So you are not being chased come on, it's time for this program. You are right there because you are here to buy into everything that heaven has brought about. I never sat outside once in any meeting in my life. What will I be doing that will make me sit outside? That means you will get there before me first. I carried that comportment by the grace of God from the beginning. I wasn't privileged to be punished by anybody in secondary school. I wasn't. I had a courage that would not allow me to take steps that would require someone punishing me. For your information, I still have my classmates right here in our environment and in this church. It's not a story of we don't know what happened. A leader tomorrow is showing the symptoms today. It's not tomorrow. He said, train up a child. What you can't catch as a child, sorry, you may never catch till you die. Train up a child in the way that it should go. When it's grown old, it will not depart from it. That is, whatever is not implanted on time, there is no guarantee for laying hold on it tomorrow. All the playboys of yesterday are still playmen today. Because it's too late, then it. There is nothing magical about leadership. It's all about accepting full responsibility. Winston Churchill said, responsibility is the price for greatness. And George Washington said, discipline is the soul of an army. It makes small numbers formidable. It procures success to the weak and esteem to all. These are all virtues that will help design the future that awaits you. It helps to design the future that awaits you. I have never been privileged to be called stupid by any man. Because I won't say stupid things. I will watch what I say before it comes out of my mouth. Yeah, I wasn't born an adult. I was also born a child. In prophecy, they talk about Jesus as a man child. Come and say man child. Huh? There are those who are privileged to learn certain things on time that they outgrow their age and maturity. And if you can't do that in a church setting like this, I don't know where else you want to do it. We didn't have this kind of churches then. There is no substitute for discipline in the school of leadership. Prayer and fasting won't substitute for discipline. Nothing will. I saw in my Bible very early that we are priests and kings and we shall reign on the earth. And from the time I saw it, I couldn't afford to wear bedroom slippers outside. In our own days, that was a normal way to go out. They said, a king mustn't appear like this. So I put on my sandals. Because I saw in my Bible that every child of God is a king and a priest and is out to reign on the earth. So I won't wear what a king will not wear. A king won't wear a shirt and throw the buttons open like a drunkard. Don't do it. He won't do it. When you check anybody who is not appearing kingly, tell him, not the way a king appears. A queen does not appear like this, I beg. That your alignment here will determine your attainment at the end. But don't just be there to listen to what is being taught. Be prepared to demonstrate your understanding of the teaching in the way you carry yourself. I'll be taking you on a series in my own part of this deal, which I've captioned Visionary Leadership. It's part 1-4. So we deal on part 1 tonight. Visionary Leadership, part 1-4. And tonight we'll be taking our time on looking at what is leadership. Because if you don't know where you are going, you won't know when you get there. Isn't it? If you don't know where you are going, you will not know when you get there. It's very important for us to settle down properly. We're talking about the making of a leader. And so we need to know what is leadership. When you understand it, we know whether you are actualizing it in the ultimate or not. And I'd like you to listen extremely intensely because it will help to define the adventure of life for you. What is leadership? Leadership, as the name suggests, implies taking the lead, leading the way, setting the pace, and blazing the trail. Leadership is taking the lead, leading the way, setting the pace, and blazing the trail. You don't know where you are going. You'll never be able to tell when you get there. Taking the lead, leading the way, setting the pace, and blazing the trail. Very important for us to know that leadership is not in position or in possession, but it is in contribution. Leadership is not in what you get. It is in what you give. Leadership is not in what you have. It is in what you add. There's a general misconception here that defines leadership in terms of followership or in terms of people. That is erroneous. Leadership is not about people. Leading a people is about leading a cause. Moses discovered a cause. He committed himself to it, and he became a leader. He was restless about the suffering of God's people in Egypt. His passion was burning within him to see them set free. And the leadership in him came alive. Nehemiah could not stand the devastation of the remainder of the captives in Jerusalem. The leadership grace came on him. Gideon was upset about the harassment of the Midianites. And when God came to him saying, "Oh, mighty man of valor," he said, "Where is the might? Where are the miracles that our fathers told us?" It was all about a cause, not about people. All about a cause and not about people. So today we have leading entrepreneurs, leading scientists, leading authors. Now, so if you look at that, you'll find that we are talking about causes, we're talking about careers, we're talking about mission, we are not talking about people. We are not talking about people. So until you can define your mission, you are not a candidate for leadership. So leadership begins by clearly being able to define your mission on earth and committing yourself to the same. That's where leadership begins. Therefore, it is living for a cause that makes a leader. It is living for a cause that makes a leader. It is commitment to a cause that makes a great leader. Like I said, therefore, leadership begins by first identifying your cause, discovering your purpose, laying hold on your mission. So it is your impact in your field that defines your leadership rating. It is your impact in your field that defines your leadership rating. There are political leaders, there are academic leaders, there are ministry leaders, there are leading musicians, leading artists, leading pastors, So leadership is not about people. It's about excelling in your mission. It's about taking the lead in your field. It's about leading the way in your career. Politics is one of the 1,001 careers in the world. It's one among a million. So it is heresy to think that you cannot influence society without being in politics. It's an abuse to intelligence. I've never been in politics. I'll never be in it till I die. That's not my field. But there are presidents in this country that will never make the kind of mark that some of us are making in our own little corners. That will never make such marks. There are presidents who will die and the nation will not even know that they died. There are individuals that will go off and the whole nation will be at a standstill because of impact and influence in their respective areas. So in our discussion in visionary leadership, it's very important to first of all be able to define your mission on earth. In every human endeavor, there are leading leaders. As far as we are concerned in the kingdom, every calling in the kingdom is a high calling. It is you that determines how much of that high calling you are able to realize in your lifetime. So it is living for a cause that makes a leader. It is commitment to a cause that makes a great leader. Hear what Jesus said in John chapter 18 and verse 37. Pilate asked him, I said, art thou a king then? He said, thou seest. For to this end was I born, and for this cause came I to the world. To this end was I born, John 18, 37. And for this cause came I to the world, that I may bear witness unto the truth. One end, one cause, and he committed his life to it. Today, there is no leader of his class, the entirety of the human race, neither would there be any until the close of the age. He committed himself to his cause. He said, no one took my life from me. I laid it down by myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. So until your mission on earth is defined, you are not a candidate for leadership. Because leadership is tied to mission. Leadership is tied to your vision. That's why the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. What does that mean? It means people are stripped of glory and honor without a vision. Because their glory and their honor is in their vision. It's in the mission of God for your life, the purpose of God for your life. That's where your star is. Until you find what to live for, you are not a leader in the making. It is finding the right thing, not just a thing, the right thing as ordained by your Creator. Because one wrong step can wreck a whole destiny. Finding the right course and committing yourself to the same will cause the leadership grace in you to come to light. By the time the leg is trying to do the work of the hand, you will see how ignoble it becomes. You need to put your leg to reach your mouth. Even though the legs appear stronger than the hand, it cannot effectively perform the function of the hand. So each one of us belongs somewhere, and until that somewhere is discovered, life remains a struggle. Some have found it, but they won't stay there. No, that's not my plan. Okay. Use your leg as your hand, as your plan, and see how noble, how honorable that is. Before I formed in the womb, I knew thee. I ordained thee, and I separated thee to be a prophet unto me. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It is he that has made us and all we are ourselves. No product determines its purpose in the market. It is the manufacturer that does. So we must get back to source to discover where we belong in his master plan and settle there. And settle with his plan. This is very crucial. This is very vital. And settle with his plan. Ministry was not my plan for myself. It is his plan uncovered. It is his plan discovered. But this is not comparable to what my plan will have delivered. Before I formed in the womb, I knew thee. Until Paul discovered where he belongs, it was a nuisance. Later on, he said, God, who separated me from my mother's womb? He discovered it very lately. Only God rescued him. He was a vagabond. Until the plan of God was delivered to him, he was a nuisance. He was a problem to society. Somebody was ordained to be a solution to multitudes. If that plan came true. On this mountain, before you are out of here, the plan of God regarding your very life will be delivered in the clearest form. Let me help you to see this clearly as we go on. There is a leadership seed in you. At creation, this is what God said about man. Let us make man in our image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them take the lead. Let them lead the way. Let them set the pace. Let them be leaders. So Genesis 1:26, man was created with a leadership seed in him. There's a leadership seed in you. You are created with a leadership seed in you. When man sinned and man died, that seed also died. Immediately, he became a subject to the animals that he once ruled over. He lost his leadership position at sin. When sin came, his spirit man died, and the virtue of leadership in him died along with it. He named all the animals. Now he started running away from them. And when Jesus came to redeem us, he said, I am redeeming you from servitude into which sin sold you into. I'm bringing you back into royalty where you originally belong. So he came to restore the leadership seed back to us. Revelation 5 verse 10. He has redeemed us unto our God out of every nation. Come and say every nation. Every kindred and every people as priests and kings so we can reign on the earth. So, at redemption, the leadership seed in us that was destroyed by sin came back to life. And now we have been redeemed from slavery. We have been redeemed from servitude. Now we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. Set apart to show for the praise of him who has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is what redemption did. It is bringing back the glory that was lost to sin. So there is a leadership seed in you. Let's look at the scriptural basis for this. Listen to this. The Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy kindred, from thy nation, into a land that I will show you, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and thou shalt be a blessing. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So every seed of Abraham is ordained by God to be a blessing. He will be the one giving to others, showing others the way to go, helping others to realize their destiny. He will be leading others. Genesis 12:1-3. Genesis 22:17-18. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So every seed of Abraham carries a leadership seed in himself. And the Bible said, we brethren as Isaac, we are children of promise. Galatians 4:28. So every child of God
has his root in Abraham, which qualifies him to enjoy the leadership grace. Also, like I said, in redemption, we have our root. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, we have been redeemed unto our God as priests and kings, and we shall reign on the earth. Remember, Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He was a solution provider. He was a problem solver. Everybody resorted to him because he had the answer to every question. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So you are sent as solution providers, problem solvers to your world. Remember, in redemption, we are told we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Matthew 5, 13 to 15. That portrays you and me as pace setters, pathfinders, trailblazers. So in the Abrahamic covenant, you have your leadership seed. In redemption, you have your leadership seed. And then, of course, in the prophetic, the Bible says, in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established on top of the mountains, and all nations shall flow into it. In Zechariah chapter 8, he said, ten men shall hold to the skirt of it and say, Jew, and say, we will go with you. Come and say, leadership. So prophetically, the end time church is a leading church. Come and say, leading church. That means it's a church made up of leaders. That means every member of the last day's church is a leader prophetically. God has ordained you to be a leader prophetically. So wherever you are found, you are ordained to be a leader in that field. So I know I have here tonight leading career men and women. We have here tonight leading industrialists. We have here tonight leading scientists. We have here tonight leading inventors. We have here tonight leading financiers. We have here tonight leading ministers of the gospel. All you need is to quickly identify where you belong and begin to take steps towards taking the lead by investing the best of your time, your energy, and resources in your pursuit. That is what it takes. So leadership is not about followership. It's not about people. It's about a cause. You have leading youth ministers, leading children ministries. I mean, individuals who just came in there and began to add value to what used to be. That is what it takes. You can't discover your mission and not be willing to die for it. Whatever is not worth dying for is not worth living for. After the Lord called me, many people wait for confirmations. That's why they suffer confusion. A number of people wouldn't see what God called me to do. One of our most respected elder statesmen in the ministry said, no, God hasn't asked me to go to full-time ministry. But I knew so much what God said to me, and I said, God, should I pretend not to have heard you? See that I don't succeed in any other thing I do. I heard you by myself as a man hears his friend. You can't discover God's plan for yourself by yourself and not be willing to die for it. Whatever is not worth dying for is not worth living for. So the greatest task which I'd like you to set your minds on to during this great event is the clarity of God's plan as it relates to you. Lord, in the morning, I want your plan for me clearly defined. I want a clearer understanding of my mission on earth I don't want to go through life by trial and error. I want to be definite about where I belong. Definite. If you are caught up for academics and you run yourself into business, you run bankrupt before you know it. If you are caught up for business, you run into ministry. You'll be so frustrated. You wonder whether God is still in heaven. Because who is he that says, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Lamentation 3 verse 37. Lamentation 3:37. So it is only what God has commanded that puts you in command. Anytime you are outside God's command, you lose command. But who is he that says, and it comes to pass when the Lord commanded it not? You can't believe I got that scripture 30 years ago, 1976. And I every time I want to be sure God has commanded this before I will get into it. And someone asked me many years ago, he said, how do you get things done so cheaply in this ministry? I said, we do nothing except it is what? Commanded. When you operate as commanded, you remain supernaturally in command. When you operate as commanded, you remain supernaturally in command. Why am I saying this? Many, many great leaders have sold their leadership birthright to American Lottery. They have sold their colorful birthright to a muscle of meat. They have followed friends through the desert on their way to Europe. That is, somebody supposed to provide global leadership in his field has suddenly become a slave in Germany by a deception of the devil. Somebody caught out to be the leading industrialist in a nation became a cleaner in Japan. Because of lack of vision, he had become a victim of frustration. My prayer for every one of you is this, that you will not leave this mountain without a clarification of your mission on earth. For who is he that says, and it comes to pass when the Lord commanded it not? Therefore, leadership is not about occupying a seat. It is about breaking records and setting new standards. It's about breaking records and setting new standards. Leadership is not about wearing a title. It's about accomplishing a task. Billy Graham, in most circles, is still referred to as Mr. Billy Graham. Mr. Billy Graham. A great man of God, Kenneth Copeland, is still Brother Kenneth Copeland. You'll be 70 years old this December. It is here they celebrate titles. There is no entitlement in titles. It is in the task accomplished. In Nigeria today, you call somebody a chief. You say, no, I'm not a chief. I'm a high chief. You have to add high to it because you can make me a chief like any other chief. I'm a high chief. There are no entitlements in titles. It's only in the task accomplished. You only will hear who did this, not who bears this. The name you bear, the title you bear is your choice. It does not determine your worth. Only purpose-driven people end up becoming leaders. May your purpose on earth be discovered in the clearest terms. May you be willing to settle with God's agenda for your life. May you celebrate your own mission all the days of your life. That is what it takes to become a visionary leader. A purpose-driven man, a purpose-driven woman, someone who is willing to live for a cause and die for that cause, should that be required. Somebody who sold out to a well-defined purpose. And you can't be sold out without standing out. You cannot be sold out without standing out. So you have not come here for a jamboree. You have come here for a training session. And I'd like you to celebrate that opportunity and make the most of it from the depth of your heart. Willing to make the most of it from the depth of your heart. Can I hear you say with me, there's a leadership seed in me. I shall not watch it die. There's a leadership seed in me. By virtue of my connection to the Abrahamic covenant, by virtue of my connection with redemption, and by virtue of my connection with the prophetic, there is a leadership seed in me, and I shall not allow it to die. I shall nurture it, dig around it, fertilize it, until it comes to light. So help me, Lord. So help me, Lord. So help me, Lord. So help me, Lord. Why are we here at this time? A vision does not make you a leader. It is the actualization of that vision that does. It's not a vision that makes you a leader. It is the actualization of that vision that does. And if you look at a vision as a spiritual seed, then it has to be cultivated. It has to be watered. It has to be nurtured before it can begin to bear fruits. So if you do nothing about the vision, it will still die. And what we are here to do is to teach us what to do with the vision that God has set ahead of us so we can make the most of it in the journey of life. That's God's purpose. But you all know that you cannot set new records without an understanding of the existing one, isn't it? You cannot. You cannot set new records without an understanding of the existing one. You cannot set new standards without knowing what the present standards are like. So that means your vision will require lots of manuals of information before it can be actualized. Lots of it. And I see this mountain as a mountain of supernatural insight, divine informations that will help put adequate fertilizer on your vision. So you are not just only getting where you are going, you are able to cultivate effectively for maximum yield. That is God's purpose. Amen? That is God's purpose. Somebody said, if we are all leaders, who then shall be led? Those who did not succeed to become leaders. Life is a race. In a race, everybody runs, but one receives the prize. So run that he may obtain. So run that he may obtain. Not so play. So run that he may obtain. So run that he may obtain. So many are celebrating their visions and sleeping with it. They don't sleep with vision. They run with it. The vision you sleep with will die under your cover cloth. They run with it. They don't sleep with vision. They run with it. They don't sleep with vision. They run with it. As a seed of Abraham, you have a responsibility to run with the vision that God has committed into your hand. And as you run with it, he supplies you the grace to actualize it. That is what it takes. As we close tonight in welcoming you, I'd like you to know that the vision that God is giving you is unveiled. Your leadership position is unveiled by vision. Vision is what opens the way to it. Vision is the gateway to your leadership destiny. Now, that leadership destiny is driven by passion. Come on, say driven by passion. It is activated by planning, engineered by sacrifice, and actualized by tireless pursuit. I come again. There's a leadership seed in you. It is unveiled by vision, driven by passion, activated by planning, engineered by sacrifice, and actualized by tireless pursuit. I come again. There's a leadership seed in each of us. This leadership seed is unveiled by vision. It is driven by passion, activated by planning, engineered by sacrifice. So when the plan is not working out, he said, no, I give it all it takes because it must work. If one approach fails, you desire another approach. My enemy rejoices not over me. When I fall, I shall rise again. Engineered by sacrifice and actualized by tireless pursuit. By July 1st, 1984, attendance in our church in Kaduna was 90. How many? That was the day we ordained our first set of deacons. So I still have the clear record of how many people were in church on that day. It was full. Church was full. It was 90 people. 1984, 22 years ago. By 1985, we had crossed 300, 500. By 86, we've started three services in our small little hall. As we bolted out of that little hall, by November 1986, it can never take us again, so we came out to the open. This church had no structure of its own. 1989. So you can be weary and give up. But be followers of them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. There is nothing magical about destiny. Destiny operates by principles. If you don't understand the principles, you lose your place before you know it. So it's not enough to have a vision. You must generate enough passion to drive it. You must engage enough planning to keep it activated. You must go the extra mile to overcome whatever looks like challenges on the way. And you must refuse to give up in your pursuit until the ultimate is accomplished. Those are all the things they will be teaching you in the workshops and in everything all through this meeting. I do believe that someone is here ready for a flight after this event. If that is you, let me hear your loudest amen. I've never had pleasure in vacation because my mission is always very delightsomely demanding. It's not just demand. I'm not stressed. I'm enjoying it to the utmost. I'm enjoying it to the utmost. Without pursuit, you won't be on this ground today. Without passion, we can't drive it. Just like without fuel, your vehicle will not move. Without passion, your vision won't move an inch. It takes a burning passion to keep your vision moving. It takes continuous planning and reviews of plans to keep it activated. It takes servicing it by sacrifice. You are servicing every aspect that is about to knock to make sure it goes up. Then you have decided, I'm not turning back. Not giving up. I'm not done. I'm not giving up. I'm not done. My God will do it again, just like before. I'm not giving up. I'm not done. The popular statement of Oral Roberts, winners never quit. Quitters never win. All you need is wake up and tell yourself, my mission on earth will never be sold out for a morsel of meat. I will give it all it takes until God's purpose is fully actualized in my life. Lift up your two hands before the Lord. Take grace from God to nurture the leadership seed in you with all it takes. If that is you, let me hear your loudest amen. Some of you have heard about the name Jack Hayford before. Jack Hayford, great man of God in the United States. He recently became the president of the First Square Church. As he is in the First Square. And is blessing the world round about over the years. It is not where you are that determines leadership. It is who you are. Joseph was in the house of Potiphar. He was a leader. He was in the prison. He was a leader. Until he became a leader in the whole land of Egypt. It's not so much about where you are. It is who you are. It is who you are. the leading pastor among leading pastors in the world, Yonggi Cho. Terrific. He belongs to the Assemblies of God. And yet, the whole world was gravitating in that direction to draw virtue. It is not so much about where you are. An academic in a university is not the university that determines his rating. It's his practical input that determines his rating. How has your church become a leading church in the world? Today, in terms of single congregations, we are in the first five in the world. The first five. How? It is not where you are. This is supposed to be Africa, where nothing is expected to work. Why is everything working? Because vision is kept alive. Please hear this. Don't be deceived by where others are. Just locate where you ought to be and abide there. Don't be deceived by where others have decided to go. Locate where you belong and abide there. Don't be carried away from your feet by your friend who is in business. You don't suffer bankruptcy in your early life. Suffer a wreckage at the end. Your opinion notwithstanding, this leg cannot do the work of this hand. If you shift from what you are ordained to do, you have signed in for struggles. And struggles without end. Lord, reveal your plan to me on this mountain. Correct me where I have been wrong. Lord, put me right. Lift up your voice and pray that prayer. Put me right on this mountain. There is an emergence of a new generation of leaders from here.
Bishop David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, 21688 Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Or call 817-9670, 817-9671, 817-9672, 817-9673, and 817-9674. Or send your testimony through the email bishop@winnerskinandland.org. And best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle, Kinanland, Kilometer 10, Idiroko Road, Ota. On Wednesday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. On Sundays, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. God bless you.